It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price, taking out an Iranian general.
President Trump's decision to remove Qasem Soleimani from the battlefield saved American lives.
That is our top story this Friday. Iran promising to retaliate after an airstrike ordered by President Trump took out the top military commander in Iran. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo.
Hundreds of American lives on his hands, too. He was involved in the Beirut bombings. He'd orchestrated an attack right here in Washington, D.C. It ultimately failed. This is a man who's put American lives at risk for an awfully long time. And last night was the time that we needed to strike to make sure that this imminent attack that he was working actively was disrupted.
Pompeo says the general was killed to save lives, and whatever the response is from Iran, the U.S. will be ready.
The men and women who are on the ground there today, we take seriously the need for their security. We're working on it. We've been planning for this, and we're prepared.
In Iran today, meantime, protesters have taken to the streets promising to avenge the killing of their general.
The big question is not if Iran will retaliate, it is where and when they will retaliate.
That's correspondent Trey Yingst, Middle East expert Joe Cirincione.
We are very vulnerable in the region. We just killed the leading general of the Iranian military forces. That puts all U.S. military commanders in the crosshairs.
President Trump blames Iran for this week's attacks on the U.S. embassy in Baghdad. Military analyst Mike Lyons says the airstrike that took out the general is a powerful signal to Tehran to fall in line.
Iran now knows that the United States will go after whoever it thinks it needs to in order to get them to stop acting in a manner that's not in conjunction with the rest of the world.
The general was killed near the airport in Baghdad by a U.S. drone. Correspondent Cammie McCormick is at the Pentagon this afternoon.
Iranians learned of his death on state TV.
Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un.
And at morning prayers, shouts of death to America. An advisor to Iran's supreme leader warned of retaliation. The State Department is urging all American citizens to leave Iraq by plane if possible and by land if not. Already some foreign oil workers are leaving oil fields in southern Iraq. The U.S. military had been beefing up its presence in the region after the attack this week on the American embassy in Baghdad. 100 more Marines are guarding the facility. Hundreds of paratroopers have arrived in Kuwait. 3,000 more could be deployed. And thousands of Marines are now steaming toward the Persian Gulf.
That's Cammie McCormick reporting from the Pentagon this afternoon. Michael Morrell is the former deputy director at the CIA.
There will be dead Americans, dead civilian Americans, as a result of this.
Morrell says Iran will retaliate by turning its terror groups loose.
They're going to turn their proxies loose throughout the region to go after civilians, and at a time and place of their choosing, they're going to conduct a terrorist strike that kills a senior American official. And that could be anywhere in the world.
And Congress now reacting to the airstrike. Here's political analyst Ed O'Keefe.
Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, aides tell me he didn't get a heads up about this before it happened. Neither did other top leaders. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi condemned the president's actions. On the other side of the aisle, Republicans are calling it a success and justice for the American troops killed at the hands of General Soleimani.
That's political analyst Ed O'Keefe. Law enforcement officials in New York and L.A., meantime, have beefed up security in the wake of the airstrike. And in Israel, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu praising President Trump while at the same time getting ready for a possible attack. Correspondent Robert Berger is in Jerusalem.
Israeli military and security chiefs gathered for an urgent meeting to discuss the repercussions of the U.S. killing of the Iranian general. Officials here are concerned that Iran could order its proxies in Lebanon, Gaza, and Syria to strike at Israel. Israeli media say the military has raised its level of alert.
That's Robert Berger reporting from Israel today at the White House. President Trump says the game has changed when it comes to Iran. Now the rest of the world waits to see how deadly that change will be. The other big story today taking place in Australia. More than 200 wildfires burning out of control there. Reporter Ann Wassel on the scene.
We now have bushfires raging across more than half of the country. We've been told that the situation is going to intensify in the next 24 hours. Major blazes are going to combine to form one massive fire, and everyone here is on very high alert.
And Wassel reporting from Australia. The Trump administration says it's going to ban the sale of flavored e-cigarettes, but not menthol or tobacco-flavored products. The move in response to a nationwide outbreak of lung illnesses linked to vaping. U-Haul says it won't hire smokers in 21 states where it's legal to do so. It's an effort to promote a healthier work environment. Legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
Smokers are not a protected class of persons under the civil rights law. There's no constitutional right to smoke. U-Haul is saying that if we're paying for your health insurance, we have the right to determine whether your personal habits will unnecessarily increase the costs for everyone.
Officials at U-Haul say in order for the company to compete in the workplace today, it has to be able to provide the very best in health care at a reasonable rate. Still to come this Friday, mental health in Pennsylvania, green light law in New York, and the Buffalo Bills getting ready.
Good afternoon. Tracking a few raindrops in the area now, but there'll be some snowflakes around tomorrow. Forecast details are coming up in 10 minutes.
Okie dokie, Kevin Williams checking the stories making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania. Friday, January 3rd, the Trump administration now looking at New York's controversial green light law. That's the measure that allows illegal immigrants living in the state to get a driver's license.
I believe that the law is unconstitutional because the county clerks in the state of New York are harboring, concealing, and shielding people that are here illegally.
Erie County Clerk Mickey Kearns has been fighting the green light law ever since it passed in New York. The Trump administration says the measure also makes it easier for terrorists to come into the U.S. New York is the 13th state in the country to allow driver's licenses to illegal immigrants. Another controversial law in New York now being delayed by a federal judge. The farm law, which passed last year, allows migrant farm workers to unionize, and it bumps up their base pay. Dennis Brody is a farmer in New York. He says Governor Andrew Cuomo is killing agriculture in the Empire State.
We are working in a very challenging environment with tremendous regulations, tremendous amounts of rules with respect to how we do things, how we grow things, how we handle our labor in that. And it's getting to the point that we can't take much more.
A judge has delayed certain parts of the farm law after a lawsuit was filed by some dairy and vegetable farmers in the state. Those who make their living off the land say New York City politicians have put the final nail in the coffin by passing the farm law. New York and Pennsylvania both set to lose congressional seats after the 2020 census. The Commonwealth projected to lose one seat in Congress. That, according to Cleveland.com, and the experts predict the Empire State will lose two seats. The legal fight over the special election in the 27th congressional district has reached New York's highest court. A judge in Rochester has delayed Republicans' request to order Governor Cuomo to set a date to fill the seat left vacant by the resignation of former Congressman Chris Collins. The governor says he'd like the special election to take place on April 28th. That happens to be New York's presidential primary day. The Keystone State taking action to improve mental health.
I want every Pennsylvanian to feel comfortable reaching out to someone if they're struggling.
Governor Tom Wolf announcing a new initiative yesterday that pours more money and more resources into the issue of mental health. State Representative Mike Schlossberg.
Anytime we talk about mental illness, you're putting just a little bit of light on that darkness. That's why I always talk about my own struggles with depression.
Schlossberg says more and more teenagers today are also struggling with mental illness. That's why he wants to get more social workers into the schools.
We have to elevate this conversation, and that's why this is so important, because the governor's now going to run around to all sorts of areas.
State leaders have now launched a statewide mental health listening tour, a discussion taking place today in Allentown. Governor Cuomo says the rebuilding of a church that was lost in the 9/11 terror attacks will resume. Family Life's Brandon Dixon.
The plan is to complete construction of the St. Nicholas Greek Orthodox Church in time for the 20th anniversary of the 2001 terrorist attacks. Work on restoring the church at New York's World Trade Center was halted in December 2017. An independent board will raise funds to finish building the $80 million structure that was buried in the rubble of the Trade Center's South Tower. The newly built church will welcome visitors from all faiths. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Thank you, Brandon. Local gyms are busy this time of year as more and more folks try and sweat off those extra holiday pounds.
A lot of people have their New Year's resolutions. They're looking to get back into the gym, to come up with a new exercise program to kind of kick off the year. So it's an exciting time for everybody.
Christina Martamucci runs the River Walk Athletic Club in Binghamton. She says early January is go time at her facility.
Well, we definitely see it picking up, which we expect every year, which is wonderful. We hope that it lasts.
I see a lot of people come, and then I see a lot of people go. Shortly after. I think it's just that they sort of lose, you know, interest in
it. Bob Mayon of Binghamton says the rush of the new year traffic usually subsides by early spring. Christina Martamucci says they hope to make the most of the busyness as best they can.
Within the first few months, it typically dies down a little bit. You know, there's a couple factors, though. People do start to go outside a little bit more when the weather gets nicer, but our numbers definitely go down as the year goes by.
The experts say the biggest mistake folks make when hitting the gym in January is they do too much too soon. The best way to get in shape and stay in shape, stick to that New Year's resolution to lose weight, go slow, be consistent. Some local restaurants mixing up their menus this weekend as the Bills get set for tomorrow's big wild card matchup against the Houston Texans. Dan Vecchies is at the Flip Burger in Buffalo.
We just got excited for the Bills making the playoffs, so we just tried to come up with an idea of, like, make a promotion just to support them.
Vecchies says their playoff burger pays tribute to the Bills. The 4-ounce beef patty has a special buffalo twist to it. It's topped with shredded chicken, Frank's Red Hot sauce, and blue cheese.
It's like a buffalo theme. People have been loving it. We only saw like a few so far, but from what we heard, people really do love it, and they feel like it's like buffalo.
Team Grapevine has designed a menu to serve during the Bills playoff game from 4 until 8 o'clock on Saturday.
That's Liza Payne at the Grapevine restaurant. She says her Bills-inspired menu will remain so long as Buffalo remains in the playoffs.
We have chicken wings, chicken fingers, warm kettle chips with dip. The Bills are going to the playoffs. How exciting for the whole area, the community.
In addition to their playoff menu, Payne says the Grapevine will be handing out free shakes and free smoothies every time the Buffalo Bills score tomorrow. Let's talk about that other Buffalo professional sports team. Sunny time, 2-minute drill.
Thank you, Bill. Yeah, let's start on the ice in Buffalo in overtime. It'll cap it time.
Eichel shoots.
Jack Eichel with that game winner. Sabres knock off the Oilers 3-2 in Pittsburgh.
Loads up, shoots, and scores! Sharks win here in Pittsburgh as Brent Burns finishes it in overtime.
Sharks knock off the Pens 3-2. Elsewhere, the Islanders fall to New Jersey 2-1. Maple Leafs double up the Winnipeg Jets 6-3. Rangers fall to Calgary 4-3. Flyers fall to the Golden Knights 5-4. To the NBA, the Nets fall to Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks 123-111. Coach Beilein and the Cavaliers fall to the Charlotte Hornets 109-106. And the Miami Heat improved to 16-1 at home, beating the world champion Toronto Raptors 84-76. Finalists for the 2020 Pro Football Hall of Fame class are now public. First-year finalists include former Steeler safety Troy Polamalu and former Colts receiver Reggie Wayne. The class of 2020 will be announced February 1st, the night before the Super Bowl in Miami. Teams hoping to make it to the Super Bowl: the Bills and Texans meeting tomorrow at NRG Stadium in Houston. Bills quarterback Josh Allen making his first playoff appearance.
The playoffs is what we, you know, what we wanted, what we worked for. Now we got to go out there and play a game on Saturday. So
Sunday in Philadelphia, the Seahawks and Eagles clash. Seattle beat the Eagles 17-9 in Philly in late November. Eagles head coach Doug Peterson says they're tough.
Knowing Russell and knowing his capabilities outside the pocket as well as inside, and you know, they've had some good defenses, and And it's just come down to our lack of execution.
And in women's college basketball, a shocker in overtime in the Dome.
Oh, wide open.
Exler! No way!
Unbelievable! No way!
Syracuse forward Emily Exler with an alley-oop basket at the buzzer. Syracuse knocks off number 8 Florida State, 90-89. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Delphiette.
Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on this Friday edition of the Noon Report, Iran promises to retaliate. Australia continues to burn, and the City of Good Neighbors living up to that name.
For a culture that pretends that anything short of uninhibited sexuality is prudish and old-fashioned, we sure do have a lot of rules. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. Chuck Colson used to say that to judge the truth of a worldview, you just got to follow it to its logical conclusion. And as Apple TV's The Morning Show is accurately depicting, confusion is the logical conclusion of the secular demands for sexual freedom. The Morning Show is about a shakeup at a fictitious morning newscast after its male anchor is fired for sexual misconduct. Now, if you hear faint echoes of Matt Lauer and Fox News, yes, this show is an example of art imitating life. Given the all-star lineup of actors, it's not surprising just how well acted the show is. What is surprising is how relatively nuanced it is, especially for a Me Too show coming out of Hollywood right now. The Morning Show's lead anchor, played by Steve Carell, is unambiguously wrong, but he might not be the only one. The show, like the culture it's vividly portraying, raises more questions than it has answers. Can a boss and a subordinate engage in any appropriate romantic relationship? Is flirting always wrong? Does a workplace culture with lewd jokes and accepted promiscuity bear any responsibility for victims? If a man cannot use his power to advance their career, can a woman use her body? And so lines are drawn and then redrawn all over the place, and it's all so deeply confusing. Our best attempt at a way forward is a new, elevated notion of consent. But what exactly is consent? How is consent given? What if consent is given, but later regretted? Planned Parenthood, which I might add has a vested interest in promoting promiscuity, says consent is actively agreeing to be sexual with someone. But what does it mean to be sexual? How does one actively agree? The Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network says consent, quote, doesn't always have to be verbal. But what is it then? Dartmouth College in its student policy handbook says consent is clear, voluntary, and unambiguous agreement. Well, you get the picture. At the root of all of the confusion is the premise that sex is inherently unhooked from marriage. Our culture wants so-called sexual freedom while also demanding that everyone play by some set of rules that we can't nail down, and we refuse to ground in anything substantial. How do we expect everyone to live by a same standard like consent while buffing the very notion of having standards in the first place? The fact is, only marriage is substantial enough to ground any sexual standards that will be able to bring about health and wholeness. Sex is like fire. Marriage is like a fireplace. When the fire stays in the fireplace, it brings light and heat and ambiance. Maybe it even preserves life. But when the fire jumps out of the fireplace onto the curtains, it instead brings death and destruction. We can't pretend to be liberated from limits and then erupt in self-righteousness when someone crosses a line. But there's also good news here. Our collective reactions are revealing that there is a law written on our hearts and that it's not some arbitrary standard. God didn't design sex to be between one man and one woman because he's mean. He did it to protect men, especially women. It protects us because it's how he made us. Healthy marriages offer a wider, life-giving context for consent. The upfront commitment to another's best, the joining of families, the constant mutual giving of self to another, and a union that God both recognizes and celebrates. That context has no substitute. Not cohabitation, not in bosses using power over subordinates, certainly not in hookups, even if consent is, quote, unambiguously given. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
20 minutes past the hour. Let's take it outside.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Keep an umbrella handy for a few raindrops this afternoon. Then as low pressure of rope approaches tomorrow and draws colder air into the region, rain will flip to snow. Won't be a big deal, but the area from Buffalo to Rochester, that corridor, might pick up a few inches. And then it's modestly chilly with some lake flakes Saturday night and Sunday. The call for this afternoon, rather cloudy. with a few showers around. Temperatures peak in the 40s. Then tonight and tomorrow, cloudy. Rain returns overnight. Continues as snow tomorrow for many. Temperatures mainly in the 30s tonight and falling tomorrow. Best chance of getting more than 2 inches of snow tomorrow would be on a line from Buffalo to Rochester and points north. There'll be little or no accumulation for those of you in Pennsylvania. And temperatures, as I said, dropping tomorrow. And Sunday's chilly with flurries and high temperatures in the 30s.
Alrighty, Kevin Williams, appreciate it. If you're just joining us, here are some of the stories we're following for you today. Friday, January 3rd, plenty of fallout following the U.S. airstrike that killed the top military commander in Iran. First on Wall Street. The Dow down sharply today. Meantime, there's fear that the drone strike that took out the general may not have had the desired outcome. Former CIA Deputy Director Michael Morell.
He had a lot of American blood on his hands. He was the mastermind behind Iranian malign behavior in the region. The world is a better place without him. The problem is that comes at a very high cost.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says the decision to take out the general was a strategic one by the Trump administration.
What was sitting before us was his travels throughout the region, his efforts to make a significant strike against Americans. There would have been many Muslims killed as well, Iraqis, people in other countries as well.
Pompeo says the general was a terrorist.
The risk of doing nothing was enormous. Enormous in the short term, in terms of the imminent attack that Qasem Soleimani was plotting, but also highly risky. Doing nothing in this region shows weakness. It emboldens Iran.
President Trump ordered the strike while keeping congressional leaders in the dark. Here's political analyst Ed O'Keefe.
Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer aides tell me he didn't get a heads up about this before it happened. Neither did other top leaders. On the other side of the aisle, Republicans are calling it a success and justice for the American and troops killed at the hands of General Soleimani.
Political analyst Ed O'Keefe, security analyst Paul Viola, says he expects the Trump administration to start beefing up our military presence in the Persian Gulf.
I would not be surprised if one of the more powerful fleets of the United States Navy gets parked outside of Iran so that Iran can clearly see, because they understand our capabilities, especially from the United States Navy, that they understand what that will bring.
Law enforcement officials, meantime, in New York and L.A. have beefed up security in the wake of the airstrike that took out the top military commander in Iran. In Australia, the country continues to burn. Thousands of people have now fled the flames there. Close to 20 people dead, dozens more missing, as hundreds of wildfires burn out of control. Officials say if you're in an area that's being evacuated, get out.
Please do not stay in the area unless you absolutely have to. You have so many fires still in active status, so many fires still releasing embers. We know that the wind conditions and those hot temperatures can make it another terrible day.
The Navy has been evacuating people from the coast of Australia after the flames blocked a number of roads there. Congress opens for business today. Senate leaders are talking about the next steps after the House impeachment of President Trump, fulfilling a constitutional requirement on this day. The U.S. House will formally gavel in, but most members won't return from their holiday break until next week. Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton has a new gig.
She's been appointed the first female chancellor at Queen's University in Northern Ireland. Clinton, a former first lady and New York senator, received an honorary doctorate from the university in 2018. She won't be paid for the job, which is largely ceremonial, and she won't have to relocate to Belfast. Her primary duties will include handing out degrees, advising senior management, and serving as an ambassador to help open doors for Queen's University. Sarah Lee Kessler, New York.
Starting Sunday, there will be a toll increase for those using the Port Authority crossings to get into New York City. These drivers don't like it.
I think they got enough money and they're making billions off of this every day.
It's too much, but I guess they need to do it. They need to do it. What can we do? Well,
the Port Authority says it needs the extra money for road improvements. 25 minutes past the hour. Next at noon, staying active, staying fit in the new year with fitness guru Diane Carrozza. Let's listen in.
The dangers of prolonged sitting, Diane, when you look at the numbers, downright scary. Studies show that those who sit 11 hours or more per day, 40% more likely to die early. What are some of the biggest health risks of sitting for long periods of time?
Oh, a lot of health risks would be like your increases in diabetes with too much sitting. A lot of the researchers found that sitting throughout the day helps increase heart disease, diabetes, and death. if you look at the medical and science in sports and exercise, show that the too much sitting also increased mortality, even if you do daily exercise a day. The Postural Institute that I work with did an average study that said that the average person sits 7.7 hours a day, which also showed an increase in mortality with that.
Wow. Over seven hours a day, the average person?
Yep, that's the average person, 7.7 hours a day.
The flip side to this, Diane, standing for prolonged periods of time without moving isn't good either. What are some of the dangers associated with that?
If you're stagnant, especially if you're pregnant, you don't want to always stand still. But just having that standstill, and if your posture is not good, it's going to cause friction on those ligaments and joints. And just standing there is just not a really good idea either. You always want to make sure you're moving, keeping that circulation moving, keeping that range of motion moving with your bones and your joints and your muscles.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm at work. I have a desk job. I have to sit at my desk for long periods of time in order to do my job. What should I do to avoid those health risks associated with prolonged sitting?
With prolonged sitting, you want to always make sure that you're sitting in the proper chair where your feet touch the floor. You have a 90-degree angle in your legs, because I have to go in and check sometimes. I check people in their desks. And then also, you want to always make sure that you're upright with your tall back and your chest is lifted and your shoulder blades are pulled back, so that when you put your hands on your desk, if you're typing, you want to make sure that you're in a good 90-degree angle with that as well. Because if you don't, the prolonged sitting can cause postural-related injuries, like your ligaments can be permanently stretched if you're constantly jutting your neck forward, or you'll have disc injuries. And sometimes people that have problems, they can cause headaches and numbness and tingling and muscle imbalances. So it's so important to make sure when you're at your job, either have a good desk job and make sure everything is set up for you, and also a lot of the companies are also even having them stand up, and then they can move their computers around so that they don't always have to sit down.
You're listening to Healthy Living on Family Life. Our guest is fitness practitioner Diane Carrozza, and we're talking about this very important issue of prolonged sitting and some of the dangers associated with that. Besides getting up and moving around, our posture while we sit is important, Diane. I know I'll catch myself slouching at times. What are some of the dangers associated with poor posture?
Well, with the poor posture, again, you can have ligaments that can be permanently stretched. 95% of the patients or clients that usually have a forward neck because they're constantly using their computer or they're using their phones, and they're pushing their neck forward and not keeping their body their neck straight aligned along with their spine. And that can cause disc injuries, and I've seen a lot of that. A lot of my clients that I do work with have that problem.
Mm.
And so you have to train and teach them how to call it. A simple thing is called 4 points. And 4 points is like a group of muscles that you need to just keep aware of, and that's with tall back. Chest is slightly high. Squeeze your shoulder blades, or I call it squeeze your pencil between your shoulder blades, and then put your belly in. And when I say, even when I'm talking to them or training them and say, don't forget your 4 points, that's so easy for people to remember. Even if they're sitting at their desk like, oh, Diana, think about those 4 points that you talk about.
Mm.
So just being aware is really so helpful for a lot of people.
If I work out a lot, Diane, is it still dangerous for me to sit for long periods of time at work?
Well, actually, yeah. The statistics show even that even if you exercise daily, people who do sit too much are at risk of early death. And they said as sitting time increased to 50% or more each day, the risk is increased by 11 to 54%.
Hmm. For me, I have a double whammy because I drive 2 hours to get to work. And then when I'm at work, I'm at my desk a lot. So I really have to get up and move around, because that's a lot of time in a seated position.
That's right. You want to also make sure in your seated position that you also fit properly in your car, or you're going to develop some neurological problems in with your back and your spine and muscle disorders. You want to really make sure you're okay with that.
All right, some good tips there as we kick off the new year. Those fitness plans, that's health guru Diane Carrozza. Let's head to the Weather Center one more time before we leave you. Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Keep an umbrella handy for a few raindrops this afternoon. Then as low pressure of rope approaches tomorrow and draws colder air into the region, rain will flip to snow. Won't be a big deal, but The area from Buffalo to Rochester, that corridor, might pick up a few inches. And then it's modestly chilly with some lake flakes Saturday night and Sunday. The Gulf of this afternoon, rather cloudy, with a few showers around. Temperatures peak in the 40s. Then tonight and tomorrow, cloudy. Rain returns overnight. Continues as snow tomorrow for many. Temperatures mainly in the 30s tonight and falling tomorrow. Best chance of getting more than 2 inches of snow tomorrow would be on a line from Buffalo to Rochester and points north. There'll be little or no accumulation for those of you in Pennsylvania. And temperatures, as I said, dropping tomorrow. And Sunday's chilly with flurries and high temperatures in the 30s.
Okie dokie, Kevin Williams, have yourself a fantastic weekend. Finally, this Friday, the City of Good Neighbors once again proving why they've earned that nickname after getting called the City of Losers on a Baltimore radio station this week. Buffalo Bills fan Stephen Brown and business owner Del Reed say they responded not with anger, but with kindness.
I went to that reporter's Twitter page, and I saw he had a pinned tweet talking about his mom dealing with Alzheimer's. And that is a terrible disease that has affected so many. So I knew that was the cause, and I knew what to do. From watching Dell do at other times, we needed to donate.
And so Steve said, you know what? I'm going to donate to the Alzheimer's organization in this guy's honor. And so I said, that's a great idea. And so I did that as well and encouraged the people that follow me to do the same.
How about that? Reed says he thinks the kind gesture is a true reflection of not just Buffalo Bills fans, but all of Western New York. We'll be rooting for the Bills tomorrow. That is the world we live in this Friday. As always, thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend, won't you? I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to The Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.